All right, welcome. My name is Pastor B. Wallace.
And I'm Keontae McDonald, and you're tuned into Simplify Complexity, a relationship podcast.
So, another day, another podcast, and we're just always thankful that you would come and join us.
Yes, sir.
How are you feeling, Keontae, man?
Feeling pretty good, man. I'm feeling refreshed, back from vacation.
Right, so tell us about that. Where'd you go?
Man, me and my wife, we actually went to Paris for 4 days. Paris, France, not Paris, California.
I guess you gotta say that, right?
Right. Went to Paris for 4 days, and then we went to Rome, Italy for 3 days. So it was a nice little getaway.
Okay, all right. I didn't get no invite or nothing.
Man, you know, hey.
I thought we was boys.
We'll catch you on the next one.
Okay, next one. Okay, all right, bet. So our topic today is the hidden benefits of singleness.
That's a good one.
It's a good one, right? So as those are maybe single, and sometimes I don't feel like we always feel like there's benefits.
Right.
But there are. And we'll kind of get into that. You know, why do we feel like there aren't benefits? Mm-hmm. But before we get into our topic, we really want to thank Harris Booker for being a sponsor. And so if you're looking for information about insurance, if you're just looking for information about life and protecting your family financially, give them a call, 909-717-4886. Again, that's 909-717-4886.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. So why do you think people don't feel like there's benefits? What is it about being single that, you know, people just kind of feel like, oh, you're like, you know, I can't wait to. And then this isn't everyone. So right. Mind you, somebody's listening to this. This isn't everyone. But for many people, it's when you're single, there's like this discontent.
Yeah, it's like a stigma or something like that.
Yeah, so, you know, what do you think that is?
I just think it just deals with our society. We kind of romanticize the relationships, the fairy tale marriage and wedding, right, and stuff like that. And we think that we actually need that. But just like you said, there are hidden benefits in being single. And it's interesting that we just look at singleness and kind of devalue it. But man, there's so much to gain from being single, you know, just being alone.
Right. Well, and I had it because there's almost this psychological play that society does put on our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have people. And mind you, these will be relatives. This could be your mom, right? So your mom, you know, will make you feel inadequate as though, you're missing out and you don't. Right. You know what I mean? You need somebody. But do you need somebody? And we need Jesus. You know,
right, exactly.
But do you need a husband or do you need a wife in order to be fulfilled? Some other sayings would be, if you're single, there's something wrong with you. You know, so why do we equate, you know, that there's something wrong with me if I'm single?
Right.
Maybe I'm perfectly fine. Maybe there's something wrong with them. But
maybe you just want to be single.
But maybe you just want to be single. But and so here's some other ones I had. If you're single, you're missing out.
What?
If you're married, you're missing out. You know, these, right. So it's like, but we allow these things to kind of just penetrate our minds to where we buy into, like you said, that love story. Here's the last one. If you're single, you're lonely.
Hmm.
But is that true? I know plenty of married people that feel lonely.
Man, yeah, you're right. You're right there.
And so why don't we have more emphasis on the benefits of singleness? On that, hey, being single is okay. You don't have to marry.
Right.
And this kind of came up because we were doing a Bible study going through the book of 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 1 Corinthians, Paul begins to talk about singleness. And he addresses marriage. But in talking about singleness, he says some really interesting things that I want us to kind of look at and kind of give some thought to.
Okay.
And so he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So I encourage you, go read the whole chapter of chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. But he starts out, he says, now for the matters you wrote about. It is good for a man not to have sexual relationships with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to pause there because the first thing he starts out with is he's saying, wait a minute, it's good. So if you're not having this sexual interaction, that's okay. It's not a bad thing. So again, we have this stigma to where it's bad, but he's starting out by saying, wait a minute, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to have sexual relationships with a woman or a woman. You don't have to have sexual relationships with a man.
Right.
Skip to verse 28. In verse 28, he says something similar. He says, but if you do not marry, that's can't be any clearer than that. If you do not marry, you have not sinned.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this almost the same concept even back then where it was like you're doing something wrong. It's sinful if you didn't. So he's saying, no, it's not sinful. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. So if she chooses to marry, cool. If you choose not to marry, cool.
Still cool. Yeah.
Verse 38. So then he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does better. So he kind of put a little twist on it, right? Yeah. You know, so it's like, if you don't marry her, hey, you're doing even better. All right, here's the last one. 39. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all caught that real quick, but I don't think you could have said it any plainer. But he said, she is happier if she stays as she is. And I think that I too have the Spirit of God. And so in this, mind you, he's talking about, you know, his godly wisdom. He's sharing his advice.
Yeah.
So these aren't commands. And mind you, there is no command that thou shalt marry.
Right.
And so he's just sharing his godly advice, his godly experience of, hey, you might be happier if you don't marry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not dealing with certain, you know, well, first, why would he even go there? Isn't blissness with, is that a word?
Yeah, we could use it.
Okay, but isn't it to be bliss when you're married? Isn't that like the dream? Like, oh, you know, and so we kind of get into this whole concept.
Right. I think that's the key word right there, dream. You know what I mean?
Okay.
We all have this dream and this painting and image of marriage. But once you get into, not even just marriage, even when you're going through like kind of that dating stage, once you get into a relationship, you begin to realize, oh, man, this is work.
Man.
You know?
It's work. I mean, what kind of work though?
Man, it's some string. Like you're learning a whole nother person. Okay. Sometimes I'm like, oh man, I didn't even know I like this, and this is by myself.
Right.
I'm trying to learn a whole nother person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that's some top of the line work right there.
Right.
You know. So and that just it's just a lot of energy, a lot of time put into it. It's just a lot going into a relationship.
Right. So to start out, for those that are listening, what's one of the benefits is don't allow people to convince you that something is better.
Right.
You know, and different isn't better. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And being married is not necessarily better. And you have to come to a place to understand that it's okay. It's a beautiful thing to be single. And enjoy your singleness.
Exactly.
I was thinking about an analogy. And why do we allow people to convince us? You know, so if I came to you and I said, oh, man. So let's say you have a car. You have a nice sedan,
uh-huh.
Right? And I come to you and I'm like, hey, man, I got this minivan. My minivan's way better than, you know, your car. And you know, how are you going to allow me to convince you that my minivan is better? Now, it's different. Yeah. So, yeah, I got more room. And, yeah, I can do some different things. But there's some things you can do in your car.
Right.
That are different than I can do in the minivan. So it's just different. But instead, we allow people to kind of convince us that, you know, somehow singleness is bad or you're inadequate if you're single.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes into the fold of like, let's say, for instance, you know, let's say you're still living at home with your mom. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You're living at home with your mom, but you got a job and all that stuff. So, you know, you got money coming in. But then you got friends that just bought a house. And they're telling you, oh, man, hey, you need to get your own house or whatnot.
Yeah.
And, you know, all you're seeing is, you know, I do need my own space. I do need to become a grown-up and get my own house.
Right.
But you're not seeing the benefit of living with your parents and being able to save up more money than your friends that
right,
got a house.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're able to spend more family time
yeah.
as well. You know what I mean? That,
well, I mean, to your point, because there's this idea, and we're going to get into some of the, because what is it about singleness? Singleness has added freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the benefits, number one, is good.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, it has added freedoms. So I want to kind of use that house analogy, because in one instance, I can feel like, man, my mom is cramping my style. Now, hopefully you're not too old living with your parents.
right.
That's a whole other discussion. Ooh, that would be make for a good topic, right? We got to talk about like how old is too old.
Right.
Oh, no, we'll go there. Just look for it coming up. But the thing is that you can look at it like, man, my mom's cramping my style. My parents are cramping my style. And man, I can be free. I can come and go when I please.
Mm-hmm.
And I can paint my room how I please. And I can do all these other things, right? So you move out. But then you don't realize that when you move out, that all of a sudden you have a whole bunch of added responsibilities.
Oh, man.
So where you thought you had freedoms, you've just added more responsibilities because you don't want to devalue your home. So no, you're just not just going to paint it any other way.
Right.
And all of a sudden you didn't realize that there was an association. So the association says, no, you thought you were free to do what you want. But in actuality, man, there's a gang of people mad, right?
Right.
Matter of fact, you just moved into an association. You got to read
the
whole rule.
Right.
And you're like, yeah.
Regulations.
So here it is. You at your mom's house, right? And you're like, I could go get dish. And all of a sudden they're like, no, you're not putting that dish mm-hmm. up. You got to get approval.
Exactly.
And I'm just, so there's a bunch of things that you think. But once you get into that, you realize that actually there's more responsibilities because now you have a note, you know, a higher rent or a higher bill. You're paying for gas. You're paying for... so let's go back to marriage.
Right.
But you guys get an analogy. So in marriage, there are added freedoms. And so one of the things that he talks about is there's a freedom from just concerns. Mm-hmm. And he says it's really blunt. He says it in verse 3. We're still in chapter 7, verse 33. Verse 33. He says, "But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife." Verse 34. "But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world and how she can please her husband." And so there's this preoccupation of what is my wife's needs? What are my husband's needs? What am I doing to fulfill those needs? And when you are not married, you don't have to be preoccupied with, are they okay? Do they not like this okay? Is the car okay? You know, you just went on, you know, your vacation, man. Right. So I'm sure there's all kinds of things that you are constantly thinking about.
Right.
Like, is she okay in this situation? Is she like this? Oh, my feet stink. Let me make sure I put my shoes on. And I'm just saying there's all kinds of things where, right, you know, you have to think about and be preoccupied with, whereas you don't really have to deal with that in marriage.
Exactly. You know, you have to take into consideration everybody else's feelings and their desires, their wants, their needs, what makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and in that, you know, another great point that comes from that is that when you're single, you're able to really just be concerned about yourself. You're able to work on yourself.
Okay, work on yourself.
Yeah, I'll put it like that. All right. You're able to work on yourself.
I'll add to that because that was good. You can be concerned or preoccupied with God's desire for you.
Got you.
Okay,
yeah, exactly.
So, okay, build on that.
Right. So in that time when you're married and you're just worried, you know what I mean? Now you got to kind of like, I have to make sure my wife is okay. Got to make sure my kids is okay.
Right.
You know
what school district are we in? Do we have the right house?
Exactly.
And, you know, all kinds of like...
And then while doing that, then you still have to keep in line, like, okay, what does God want me to do? You know, what am I called to do? What am I, you know what I mean?
That's just
a lot. You know what I mean? When you schedule yourself and you just feel like, man, I don't have any extra time to really do anything.
Well, and some people, they rush into a relationship. They rush into marriage and they really never took time to solidify themselves in God. And as a result, they feel like they're losing themselves in their spouse. And so just recognize before you're so quick to go jump into a relationship, you need to come to a place to where you're comfortable with who you are in God and understand that God has a calling for you. God has a purpose for you that is not just a part of and is connected to this man or this woman. If you can't be happy without a man or you can't be happy without a woman, what makes you think you can be happy with one?
Right. That's true.
I preach, man.
That's true. Yeah. Because, you know, like I said, when it comes to relationships, you just don't, when you're single, you don't, you know, some of us, all we're just looking at is that lonely factor, but you don't realize how much time is available to you in being single.
Well, let's get to sacrifices.
Okay.
Because he talks about the sacrifices a little bit. And so he says in verse 10, he says, "To the married, I give you this command. A wife must not separate from her husband, but if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife." Mm-hmm. And so the thought is that this is a commitment. And so just because he's getting on your nerves, just because she's getting on your nerves, there's a sacrifice there. There's a sacrifice of, it's a lifelong commitment. It's for life. So there's freedom from marital sacrifices. We all make sacrifices.
Right.
But when you're not married, there's a freedom from marital sacrifices. The word sacrifice is the act of giving up something valued for the sake of someone else. So give me your thoughts on that, man.
Ooh, that's, man.
So what are some of the sacrifices that somebody's making in marriage that you don't have to make those same type of sacrifices when you're not married?
Well, like I said, number one, it just goes back to the concern of someone else.
Yeah.
You know, you're making a sacrifice, not even just for, you know, what do I want to do that's going to make me feel good? What am I going to do? You know, what are we going to do? What are we going
to
do?
In terms of me. What's going to make you feel good, right? So a lot of times you're denying what you want
right.
and what makes you feel good for the benefit of making sure that they feel good.
Exactly. That me, that M goes upside down and turns to a W. Okay. Now it's we. You know, yeah. Now I got to make sure it's we. That's French. We, we.
Yeah, you got to change your nouns or your personal pronouns.
Right,
changed,
right. So. You know, and so it's just the caring of that other person. And, you know, like, hey, you know, I'm a big pastrami fan.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't really like pastrami that much. So let me
What if she doesn't even like the smell of pastrami?
You know, so... And that's a sacrifice. No,
so you can't have pastrami in the house anymore. Exactly. Or you can't make it around her. And you get to a place where it's like, well, I just want it the way I want it.
Exactly. And that's what you're giving up. You know what I mean? When you when you're single and you're moving into
right. that. Well, I mean, there's so many things. Hey, you right now, go ahead and just say, you know, I'm gone. I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. She's like, where? When you going? So you have to, you know, it's like you have to say where you're going, when's it going. You want to buy a car, you have to give a reason why we're going to buy this car. Yeah. When you're single, for the most part, you get to go and come as you please. Mm-hmm. You get to be fully dedicated. If you just all of a sudden say, hey, God is calling me to go to Africa and we're going to do missions, boom, you can leave and go to Africa. But if you're married, it don't work like that.
It don't.
Of a sudden, your interest are divided. Mm-hmm. And he actually mentions this. And so if you go to verse 33, he says, but a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, but he who can, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be moments where you're going to be divided with inside of marriage. Yeah. You're going to be divided as you're like, okay, well, I know that God, you know, I know this is what I need to do, but I know that this is what my wife wants. So let me go back. This is what I want to do, but this is what I need to do.
Oh. Hey, that's perfect. Perfect. You know, because I want to buy that new charger that just came out.
Yeah, right, right.
But I need to get this minivan because I just had two kids.
You know? I feel like there's some personal experience right there with that.
Right.
One
there, you know what I mean? So that's perfect right there. You know, your wants versus needs. Marriage just changes all that. Yeah. When you bring another life into the mix of your life, it's not about you anymore. Yeah. You know?
Well, I want to finish with this thought. And the last thought is this: singleness is a calling. Mm-hmm. And so as we're talking about singleness and marriage and the benefits, we're probably a little bit hard on marriage today. So if you're probably listening to this, you're like, man, I don't want to get married. Marriage is a beautiful thing. It really is. But just understand that it comes with a new set of responsibilities.
Right.
And so it's like being a manager of a company. And if you're just an employee of the company. And so mm-hmm. as you're there as a worker of the company, there's certain things you don't have to worry about. Right. But when you're the manager, there's added responsibilities. There's some added benefits, but there's some added responsibilities. And so it's the same thing with singleness and marriage. But ultimately, understand that if singleness and living a life of singleness is a calling. And so I kind of had this thought. Before you assume you should marry, ask God. Mm-hmm. And before you assume you shouldn't marry, ask God. Because a lot of times we allow circumstances or we allow people to dictate that situation. It's really not God in the myth.
Right.
It's, you know, it's more of, well, you know, I'm lonely and I can't, you know, I'm not really dating anybody and I've been single for 40 years. So, you know, I guess that, you know, this is what God, you know, rather than asking God, mm-hmm. you know, what God is singleness for me. So what are your thoughts on that, man?
My last thoughts, man, just go back to just the value, you know, of singleness and how our society kind of looks at devaluing singleness. And I just want to use an example of, again, like I said, me and my wife, we just came off a vacation. And at the tail end of our vacation, we were in Italy. So we're in Rome, Italy. You know, we got to experience the old Roman Empire, the Colosseum, stuff like that. Now, on our way back to America, we were in the airport and we ran into a single woman from America. And she was looking for, you know, the where we all go to go through our baggage stuff or whatnot. But I was just thinking to myself, like, wow, she was single out here. And, you know, she experienced everything that we got to experience together.
Yep.
But there was no division in, like, she was much more sadder than us. You know, since right. me and my wife are, you know, she experienced the same thing and had the same happiness and joy
right.
experiencing something by herself. So in that, you have a couple that are married and we're happy, and you have someone that's single experience the same thing, happy. And she's happy.
And that's good. And that's where you really have to come to a place where it's like, Lord, help me to be happy mm-hmm. in you. And that's a great way to end. I really want you to understand it as you're listening to this. Understand that you got to come to a place, whether married or unmarried. There are plenty of people who are unmarried, unhappy, and there's plenty of people who are married, unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is they're looking for their happiness in an external place rather than in you.
Right.
And so understand that your happiness is in God. Your happiness is in Christ. And as you find yourself discontent, as you find yourself unfulfilled, you know, really go to a place and say, Lord, you know, search me. Lord, know me and help me to grow in you and be content in you. And it's not to say contentment doesn't mean that you just have to settle for less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so as you find contentment, you can still desire to be married, but you're just saying, Lord, you know, that marriage does not make me.
Right.
So that's really good. I was going to, you made me think about something because, man, I have a good time going to the movies by myself.
You get to watch what you want.
I get to sit right where I want.
Afterwards, you get to treat yourself where you want to go eat.
We didn't even talk about the added benefits of less money.
Man, single man, is that.
Man, you got to think about, you got wife and kids, boy. Like, oh, yeah, everything.
Yeah. I don't know if I can.
Like McDonald's turns from like $7 to like $32. Right. Like, I went to McDonald's. How did this get to like $30 at McDonald's? So,
yeah, you're right.
So God bless you guys. God keep you. You want to close this in prayer?
Oh, yeah, man, no doubt. Lord, we just want to come before you today, Father. First and foremost, Lord, just thank you for this time, Father, and just talking about singleness, Lord, and marriage, Lord, and just you know, the differences, Father, between the two, Father. Just those that are married, Lord, those that are single, Father, we just ask that you just allow those who are single, Lord, just to see the value in that,
yes,
Father.
Yes.
See the value in the time that you've given them, Father, the time to just, you know, become self-reliant in you, Father, just to work on themselves,
yes,
through
Lord.
You, Father, to be able to just really, you know, get a grasp on just living life, Lord, with you alone first, Father, before they enter into someone else's life, Lord, and become a part of their lives, Father. Lord, we ask that you just continue to bless those who are still going through that journey, Father. Allow them to see the happiness, Father, in their singleness, Father, and what they can do, Father, and what they're able to do, Lord, instead of it being a stigma, Father, and something of less value, Lord, in this world, Father. So we ask that you just continue to bless them, Lord. Bless all the marriages, Father, everyone that listens to this podcast, Father, every ear, Father, that comes and hears these words, Lord, that we speak, Lord, in this podcast, Father, every week, Father. Just continue to bless us, Lord, as we move forward and do your work, Lord. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, you guys. God bless you. God keep you. Don't forget to go to the website, simplifycomplexity.org. We have many other resources there. You can check out some of our old podcasts. Until next time, God bless you and God keep you. Come on, stand up, put your hands up, make some noise, party with me. It's a family reunion in my family. There's no place I'd rather be, or people I'd rather see. Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going. Let us be best minded with the mind of Christ. Let us love one another as you will love I. You need me just as much as I need you, because a body can't function when a body's been too.